Welcome, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. This is Sasha, SashaTalks.com. Today we'll cover change being in the air and embracing the unknown, which is part of an excerpt that has been released in the latest book, Departures from Sasha Talks. And before I proceed, all of the content is subject to the terms of service and disclaimers of SashaTalks.com. As we've successfully moved past three quarters of the year, we have one quarter left, and that's where that we have to put more focus and emphasis on finishing up the marathon strong. It's a good moment for us to honor the achievements that we've had, accepting the defeats, and being in the moment where we could accept the reality and learn from the areas where we might have to put in more effort and focus. And remember, just because things don't pan out as we plan on, doesn't mean that it won't come to fruition later. But it's also a good time for introspection, because when we start off any year or any metaphorical marathon, we have to ask ourselves, what are we working towards? Why do we want it? And maybe our reasons may evolve as we go about that marathon. And it's also important to refine our game plan for how we go about approaching our goals, because we have to own up to our lessons. And a lot of the work that Sasha Talks encourages people to embrace has to do with taking advantage of free will, the best gift that you are blessed with, accountability, and acknowledging that there's always gonna be moments in life where we will have to refine our decisions. There's not such a thing as right or wrong decision, because what may be right for you at one juncture in your life may be something that will not work out for you later in time. Let's say you outgrow a relationship that seemed perfect for you when you were at a certain phase of your life, or you're working a career and you reached a point where you're ready to move on to the next endeavor. These are some hypotheticals and real life scenarios that people are welcome to look within. When we talk about change, we have to also question, change is a very broad topic. What does change mean to you? For some, it may mean becoming different. On a topical level, it could be giving a business a makeover, a branding. Or on an individual level, somebody may go out and they may seek a makeover. They want to change something about themselves, whether it's within them or outside of them. And in order to embrace change, when something is different, as creatures of habit, we humans don't always react well to the idea of new things coming into our path, new people, new ideas, new ways of working, because we're dealing with the unknown. We don't know whether it will work out for us, whether we will like it, will it do us more benefit or do us more harm? And it challenges our status quo, because it requires us to consider risk. And that comes down to each individual's taste palette of how much risk are they willing to take. Are you taking calculated risk, educated risk? But one way or the other in life, whether you're going to embrace change or not, life is full of risk and there are no guarantees in life. Another way of viewing change can be from moving from one form to another. So how you've always done things, and then maybe you're looking for more creative avenues to improve your performance, maybe to make more money, to attract the right people in your path to help you become a better person, a better working professional. You go from one form to another. That itself requires change. Now, the best change is the one that is conscious. You're mindful of it. And the ones that engage in it through free will, they feel more in control and they're doing it on their own terms, which is why they're probably more willing to cooperate with the universe versus those that don't like to be told what to do. And they feel that change is being projected onto them. Now, if you're working for a third-party organization, for example, and they're going through some form of change or restructuring or implementing business systems, and it impacts you as an employee, regardless of your tier, title, pay, it doesn't matter. You're part of the group, it will impact you, and you're going to have opinions about it. And ask yourself, is it because you feel threatened that what made you feel secure is being taken away? Or do you feel there are power games going on? Are you not being heard? But education is a good place to start to understand what is the change, how will it benefit you, and why it is needed. Whether you like it or not, even in life, there are going to be moments where you don't plan for a change coming, but it will feel as you're thrown in the mix, and you have to learn not to fall under the victim mentality. You have to go from being a victim to a victor. And another way of looking at change could be moving from one element to another. There are tons of people go through internal transformational changes for the better on a spiritual level, on an emotional level, and they're learning and they're growing as people. And this is where I challenge people to embrace change, but to be mindful about it. Don't go about doing something because you're being impulsive, because you will have that reality check moment and ask yourself, what did you get yourself into? Now, when it comes to embracing the unknown, we have to ponder over our outlook on life, how we have to coexist with risk around us, whether it comes in the form of people that we welcome in our path, our personal lives, our professional lives, social circles, the opportunities that we take on, and understanding that there's no guarantee. Because when I cross paths with people in the Sasha Talks world and audiences, now and then people are clinging on to what they coin to be security, the security of knowing that you're going to have a paycheck. There are some things that are important. It's important to keep the lights on, put food on the table. Then there are those that have that security of knowing that regardless of the type and quality of their relationships that they have, when they go home at the end of the day, they have someone there. And even though they may choose not to work on the relationship or improve it, doesn't matter if it's at home, in the workplace, on the street, any aspect of your life, things are going to fall into a status quo. And status quo is represented in many different ways for each individual. And because of fearing of being alone or lonely, sometimes people stick it out in very unhealthy, toxic settings, whether it happens to do with their professional life or their personal life, for example, because they're afraid of discovering the unknown. And the inner peace within each one of us will dictate how we respond to the outside world. Inner peace is something that cannot be bought. We all have to work on seeking those answers within us, and it does involve self-development. And through self-development, we can also become aware of reality. Now, there's a catch that when people say that they want to become more self-aware, you have to remember that life is raw, and as more aware we become, we're also introduced to the positive and the not so great realities of life. Life can be pretty raw, and we need to learn how to continue working on our inner being, our understanding of the world. Life is about living, so we have to be actively living in order to tap into that self-awareness. And everyone's self-awareness is unique. And as you become more at peace of understanding who you are, your purpose, your well-being, you're also going to become a better contributor to the world and be able to pay it forward. And going back to the inner peace, it's that point that you reach, and of course, you have to maintain it every day. It's not a destination, it's an ongoing life lesson of how to acquire it and maintain it, not to let outside factors from people and things not going your way. And third-party environments and all types of questionable news and messages that come your way. Inner peace is a pillar that you have to nurture within you. And regardless of what is going on or the storms that pass you by or circumvent you, you have to learn how not to react to everything that happens. instead of reacting to everything in an impulsive manner, it doesn't hurt to reflect. Because once you take the time to reflect, even if it might be down to 30 seconds or a few minutes, it will keep you from engaging in impulsive decisions that you'll have to probably backtrack on, and it creates more work for you to fix things. And life is challenging already. And one of the things that I touch upon in departures has to do with life is not about what you want and what getting what you want. It's more about learning how to coexist with all of the challenges, all of the variables, and all of the crazy that comes, but life is worth living. And while we find meaning in our life and go about that, as I say, moving mountains, you will learn how to acquire your goals, achieve them, maintain them while all of these other factors exist. And it comes down to you to decide what is going to shake you to your core for the better or for the worse. And when we go about seeking truth, it also has to do with seeking wisdom. It's always within us, it's very raw. And when we engage in self-development, something I talk about time to time, we have to be honest with ourselves about our strengths, our weaknesses, our fears, our anxieties. What are the things that unsettle us, and why do they unsettle us? Is it because there are certain people or variables that challenge us? Challenges are a good thing, healthy challenges, not unnecessary side effects of bad decision making, which is a whole nother tangent that I could go on in another opportunity. And when we go about embracing the unknown, I'm not saying leave everything that you know behind and just jump into the black hole. There's a part of life where we have to respect history and tradition. We hold on to what matters and we nurture the new. In order to welcome any new opportunity, new blessing, new energy in our life, and energy could be an opportunity, person, place, thing, event, let life surprise you for the better. We have to honor what we already have, because if we don't show gratitude for what we have, what is going well, you're not going to be any more grateful when new things come into your life. Often people think when they have more money, more materials, more people, more, let's say, business leads, things will get better. But if you're not in the moment and mindful of where you stand today, it doesn't matter how many people come knocking on your door or how much money gets thrown into your lap. Those are passing contingencies and conditions that may make you feel comfortable for that moment, but moments pass very fast if you don't know how to recognize them and value them. And that also comes in the form of people. And it's not always about being right or wrong, but now and then people need to be heard, and it comes down to respecting their time and space. This is something that I see often in a few realms of life that I frequent because I spend so much time around strangers that people want to be heard. And we're human, so they're also going to be venting, but there's a difference between venting on a bad day and complaining as a lifestyle day to day. And if I have talent coming to me and they have concerns, I often challenge them by encouraging them to come up with a solution. No matter how small it is, how big it is, but we all have to begin somewhere. And now and then, especially if you're going to be leading people, managing people, working in teams, whether you're coaching, counseling, mentoring, consulting, I will say people will want to be heard. And you have to decide to what degree you're going to set up a platform so everyone can focus towards a healthy goal and not just go after one another. Another aspect of embracing the unknown has to do with manifesting one's destiny. And I touched upon earlier that self-development is a lifelong process. It's not a destination that you're going to touch down in a week or a month, because as life goes on, and you are actively living, you're going to come across situations and people and relationships. Some of the challenges you may have already lived through, so you're well versed in knowing how to navigate through it. And as you rise up that ladder of wisdom in life, you're also going to be thrown new challenges where you have to learn how to coexist with other people and learn from one another. There are only so many lessons we could learn by living our own life and not interacting with people. Some lessons are meant to be acquired through solitude. Alone time is healthy. And then there are some lessons where it is essential to engage with people and socialize. And of course, everyone's comfort zones vary. But in order through interacting with your environment, no matter where you are listening at the moment, that is how you're able to learn. Now and then, we're going to cross paths with people who happen to be a mirror image of us, and we don't understand what needs healing, work, and focus within us until we meet somebody. Maybe we might have a lot in common with them, and there are things that garner strong reactions towards them, and you realize this is something I see myself in this person. And then you might see something in them, and it doesn't sit well with you, and then you realize, wait. This person might be mirroring something within me that needs attention. And you have to have a sense of humor as you're living life because there's all types of emotions that you will live through, whether you acknowledge them or not out loud, even to yourself. There's only so long that you could live in denial and then hit the wall. And one part of self-development that people have to focus on has to do with self-esteem and belief system. When I started out Sasha Talks and I did the spiritual counseling, I was surprised with the amount of people that would come through for the counseling sessions. And they had great goals, and they're good people, and they're family men, family women, they're running great homes, they have healthy work ethics, they had their own being that needed attention. And everybody else around them may be helping them with acquiring the tools and encouraging them. But one thing that some of them gravely lacked had to do with was self-esteem. How do you feel about yourself? Do you value yourself? Do you have a healthy belief system? And when I talk about a belief system, I'm not talking about religion and society's prescriptive mantra. I'm talking about, what are your values? What matters to you? You are a worthy being, and you have to show self-respect. Because if you don't respect yourself, you can't expect people around you to place more value than you do on yourself. And therefore, the change has to begin from within you. It comes down to a lot of cliches that I'm sure people get to see, hear, and read, but it all comes down to your inner self. You also have to put in the effort on aligning your mind, body, your soul, and heart. We live in a society where we put so much effort on how the body appears before the eye. How much information can we process by putting in knowledge in our mind? And then now and then, the heart suffers because the heart has its own needs and we let the mind override it. And one of the interesting questions that I come across often over the past several years of public speaking is, if it came down to the mind and heart, which one would you pick? And that is a rhetorical question I ask the audience today. I know from experience that the mind is really good at overriding the heart. But the heart does win. It's similar to when I have given talks on gut feelings and what is the gut and receiving impressions and forming that relationship with your inner body's language. Sometimes the body and the gut knows a lot than the mind can recall. And I know from experience that when I've ignored the heart, I've always had to pay the price. So I encourage people to work on aligning their mind, body, soul, and heart. And it might not always be in alignment, but you do need to nurture your inner self. And when it comes to the unknown, and people want to run the other way because they don't know whether it's going to be roaming around on cloud nine or taking a leap into the black hole and just wondering when will you hit rock bottom, you got to be positive. You have to discover your own formula for success. You know yourself really well, and you will know yourself even better if you start paying attention to what your body is telling you, what your heart is telling you, what your source is telling you. You're able to devise a spectrum to understand your parameters. What are your comfort zones? And what is outside of your comfort zone? And if something happens to be outside of your comfort zone, ask yourself, is it because it goes outside of your values? Is it something because you've never tried this? So there's that human anxiety that you could work through. Is it a fear? Is there a reason for hesitating? Is it because somebody you know, your friend or family member, tried it or talked about it and it didn't go well for them? So all of a sudden, unknowingly, you embrace their experience and coin it as yours. Don't add that to your blueprint. You have a really unique blueprint and you get to control it. Also, take an active approach to living. A lot of times when great things are happening, people start taking it for granted, or when things are not happening for you and you're waiting for that phone to ring and that inbox to fill up, or people to reach out to you and you're wondering, will things start moving for me ever? People fall into that passive living mode, and you don't want to be in that condition for too long, because then it's only a matter of time people also start thinking that they're victims, that great things are happening for other people but not for me. And then they come up with a list of reasons why they have the right to be a victim. Remember, the goal is to go from victim to victor. Ideally, don't become a victim of your own mentality. I'm not saying about in life, because there's so many variables that are outside of our control, and we all are, regardless of our professions, age, where we come from, in any corner of the world, innocent and naive in varying degrees when it comes to certain things in life, because you can't know everything all the time. And that's why we are encouraged to go out and form connections with people to learn from one another. Another aspect of change has to do with constant renewal. We renew ourselves, God knows how many times over our lifetime, whether it goes from changing jobs, to changing careers, to moving around, to embracing relationships, meeting new people, outgrowing relationships, whether it's friendships or personal relationships. Life is about constant renewal. And in order to be part of that circle of life, you also want to make sure that you're contributing and paying it forward. There are a few variables that I did not touch upon, but the few that do precede embracing the unknown part of departures has to do with communication, how we communicate with people, the type of communication that never surfaces because we're too afraid of bringing up conflict and acknowledging the reality. And reality is subject to perception, and perception comes down to our senses. What makes you feel comfortable? In the moment that you communicate certain aspects of reality, people don't know how to handle the truth. Then I touch upon relationships, how we embrace relationships. Meeting people isn't that hard for a good segment of the population, but what do you do after you meet people? You're going to have acquaintances, you're going to have friends, there are some family, and then you outgrow relationships. And when people leave those type of relationships, it doesn't mean that something bad happened. It means that two people are growing, most likely in the same direction, hopefully, but they're on two different train tracks, and there's nothing wrong with that. Similar goes with a talk that I give on career and the type of decisions that you make. And having options is a great thing, but you have to go out and create your own options. And I will touch upon in at a later date on death, the metaphorical aspect of death, which ties into change and how we constantly renew ourselves. So on a topical level, I touched upon a few aspects of departures and the work that I've been focusing on, and know that even though we are halfway through the marathon, we're all in it together. Many of you have been kind in welcoming me into your corners of the world and media. Also, if you have any questions for SashaTalks.com, it has evolved immensely from the time when Sasha Talks came onto this platform. Go to SashaTalks.com, click on the contact page, and contingent upon what you're looking for, feel free to reach out to me if there's a topic you would like me to comment on, a question that you have. You could be featured on Karma Trucks, is where people submit their questions, whether it has to do with business, lifestyle, spirituality, maybe my preferences or my professional opinion. All of that is subject to Sasha Talks terms of service and disclaimers. Reach out, and maybe if we're lucky, we'll get to connect. And I would love to give you a shout out if you have a business, a website, or you are just an independent superstar. Go to SashaTalks.com and tune in until next time. Be good, be safe, be blessed. Thank you.